Now, back to Open House with Team Reba.
Welcome back to Open House with Team Reba. I'm Reba Hass of Team Reba, Remax Metro East Side.
And I'm Eric Austinus from Home Street Bank Home Mortgage. Every time you say that, it seems like that name gets longer and longer and longer. Remax Metro East Side.
If you would like, I could start to slow down
That's
how
okay.
I say it.
That's okay. Yeah, maybe I need that. For our listeners, though, this is a live call-in show.
Yes,
we are here. If you have questions for us or our guest, give us a ring. You can reach us toll-free at 866-712-1300. You can also tweet us at Team Reba or at Eric Is My Banker. And always available to answer questions and even off the air. We have some folks that they're just nervous about calling in.
Yeah,
they,
we had a couple calls last week that we didn't get to have on air.
Like, no, I don't want to go on the air. I just want to ask a question.
Yeah, we had a couple of folks call. We had one gal who wanted to talk to us about agency and another fella who was actually interested in our investor class.
That's right.
That we want to put together. So, yes.
Hey, maybe we can have David show up for that one.
I think we ought to.
We'll put him on the spot here. So
Give you an invite you didn't know was coming. But well, yes, that we're going to end up doing a series of them. So at some point, yes, absolutely, we should get some folks involved on the whole spectrum.
Absolutely.
Of investment.
So
absolutely.
We have Philip David here with Benash Real Estate 1031 Exchanges and Philip, before the break, I was throwing out a question there on a reverse exchange. So most people on an exchange, they sell the home and then they buy the home. They exchange into that to avoid paying the capital gains taxes and recapture of depreciation expenses and all that. How does a reverse exchange work?
Well, a reverse exchange is significantly more complicated than a straightforward forward exchange, but it's very valuable to people who know exactly what they want to buy and that property is available. And they have the wherewithal to either be able to pay for it with cash or have Eric the banker helping them, where they can get a loan and allow an exchange accommodation title holder to go into title on that property. What does that mean? That's a fancy way of saying when you do a reverse exchange, the exchanger, the person that owns the property and the one that's going to buy the other one, can't be in title on both of them at the same time. So what happens is we establish an LLC, and that LLC actually goes in title on the property which they are buying before they sell their relinquished property. So now we go in title on that property, and we acquire it with funds that they essentially loaned us.
Okay.
And so we're entitled to that property. Now, it's significant because most of the time these properties are some kind of economic engine, where there's some rents involved and a business is involved, et cetera.
Right.
So what we do is we lease it back to the exchanger so they can operate their new property, which they're getting as part of that reverse exchange.
That they do not yet own.
Typically, they're leasing it. You're right. Technically, they're leasing it. It's the way it's done.
But they don't hold on to it very long like that, though.
Well, it's got to be 6 months or less.
Okay.
To stay within the 180-day time frame on that.
So they've got to be pretty clear about what the funds are coming out from the relinquished property that will go into this property, and they're basing what their loan through the bank on that information?
Well, the financing is a completely separate topic from that. So that requires, that's a bit more involved as well. But basically, yes. I mean, essentially they're buying the new property first. Well, you are the exchanger. Then the current property is being sold, and then the exchange is processed. Correct.
Well, what happens once the property that they own in the first place sells? At that point, then we transfer the property that we are holding title to the exchanger, so they now have it. But I want you to think about the advantages of a reverse exchange. For a client that has a good investment that they're selling and a great investment that they're buying, for a period of time, they have both working for them because they still own the one they're selling and they're leasing the one that they're ultimately going to own. And they're completely running that business, and they've loaned us the money, so in essence, the lease cost is offset by the interest that we're paying them, and the net result is it's just basically that loan.
How many of those do you do?
I would say I typically do 4 to 6 a year.
Okay, so that's like 5% of your business.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so it's not the majority of. Okay.
It's a rarity, and it's more frequently done with commercial properties than it is with, call it residential
right.
or small
okay.
apartments.
Well, I don't want to dwell too much on it if it's going to be kind of a minority product, because I think for a lot of our listeners, if this is brand new to them, we might be just shooting right over their head on
right,
some
but,
of these.
But these are ideas that are good to be out there, because there is
someone. Oh, I'm not saying they're not good to be out there, but if this is an introduction to 1031, we might be throwing in a little bit more
absolutely.
Than
you went to third
we
year.
Need to. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, we want a broader view, and we can, you know, I mean, it's. I don't know, Philip, I would hope that you would be willing to come back on another time to maybe even dive further into something like that, because it seems like it would probably have a lot more detail that needs to go into on it.
I'm enjoying the conversation, because I like to, exchangers are neat people, and any chance I have that people can hear about how to do it and how it can help their lives,
mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's just, I'm always happy to do that.
Well, so honestly, for many of our listeners, just the existence of a 1031 is going to be new information.
Right.
I even see that in my industry. I'm talking with loan officers, and we will talk about a 1031, and they're like, "What's that?" And it's something that. Mm-hmm. Not everybody has familiarity with, so it's
well, that's
it's
why I want to kind of
program.
Keep it at the 50,000 foot level, because I can tell you as an example, you know, we had clients that moved from the Chicago area many, many years ago, and thankfully, you know, they had reached out to me and my team at the time and said, hey, we're interested since we moved here, we're interested in having a rental property, and thankfully, we dove enough into the conversation with them, we found out they were in the middle of selling this rental back in Chicago,
mm-hmm.
and they hadn't closed yet.
Okay.
And so just FYI for our listeners out there, if you happen to be in the middle of this right now, it's not too late, because they
absolutely.
Were still in escrow, and we were able within a week or two to get them set up to do the exchange, and we saved them a ton of money, and that customer was just like, nobody in our place in Chicago even told us about this.
Philip is giving me the eye right now, because I have one of my...
Because you flung a few that way.
We have a particular loan officer in our office who's very good at bringing these up at the last minute.
Does the first name start with S?
It might.
Yeah, you got it. He threw a just before Christmas present. In my direction. But it was no problem.
Oh,
and
your Christmas
was
even
with.
More exciting. Okay.
Oh, and Philip's like, no problem. And off it went, and it sailed right through. And
excellent.
Did a fantastic job
and
on
finished
that,
last so. Week.
Yeah.
Both legs.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
it was one of those people where they had it planned what they were going to do. They just hadn't decided that they were going to do it.
Right. That's
oh,
right.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, that's
oh,
only
my goodness.
A small portion of the story. I'll have to tell you the rest of the story on that one.
Well, so I'm going to throw a couple of other, because this is, you know, the real estate side of things, as well as the mortgage, and 1031s are important. I'm going to throw a couple strategies for folks who are worried about timelines. Because one of the closings that we have going on right now, one of the things we did within a contract, because here's the thing, what we didn't get to earlier in the show was, how fast is inventory moving here? Because maybe someone doesn't want to buy outside of the area. Maybe they want to be able to drive by their property, right? Because mm-hmm. right now, you know, the average sale price of a home across the rest of the United States is quite small compared to our area. On average, you're seeing 220, 260, those kinds of price points. In fact, actually, we have someone who just moved here from Florida. Is like, I could buy 3 houses in Florida for the price of the homes up here. And there are some people who just, you know, maybe they're not willing to buy somewhere else. You know, one of our 1031 people, she's going to go to Knoxville. She's going to look at property there because she's worried about finding something here in time. You know, and so, you know, there's all these complications. People start getting hung up on all of it. But what we did for one of our customers is we wrote into their contract, because we knew the type of buyer they were going to have. We wrote into their contract that they had an option up to a certain number of days before closing to give notice of an extension. That if they hadn't quite identified yet, like if they were worried about the 45 days and they wanted a little more time to feel comfortable, we could extend their closing.
Mm-hmm.
And then that would automatically give them more time to keep looking. Because for him, this is a person who's a teacher, but also in school right now himself. So working, going to school, and then dealing with this. And we know how much time is spent evaluating and crunching numbers and working with his property manager and all the other things. So he wanted that little breathing room.
sure.
to think about it. And so we actually wrote in up to 3 extensions into his contract so that if he felt he needed to, we could. Now he's opted. We did one very small extension based on the buyer's requirements, but he's now in his 45 days, but we still feel like he's got plenty to look at because he mostly wants new construction and he wants up kind of by where the rail line is going to be going in. And, you know, we talked to him about what's going on with our market, because if you look at absorption rate in King County right now, we're averaging, as of November 2016, we're at 1.1 months of inventory.
Still very, very low.
Very, very low. Now, that's absorption rate. And for people listening to the show, that means if we were to stop anything else coming on the market and just had to sell everything that was there right now based on the traction of sales that we have going on right now, the average number of sales happening per day, it would take 1.1 months to sell out
everything.
What's there.
Mm-hmm.
However, another report that we've got from the MLS as of December showing here's the actual closed sale reports for all of King County. And the average time on market in most areas is, you know, we see 21 days. I see even upwards of 65 days in some places. But the typical, the average is 33. So even though a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, everything's selling in a week. No, it's not. It's not necessarily. So there are still market areas where we're seeing 40 plus, even close to 60 days. So we're trying not to completely scare people out of trying to buy locally because they're afraid they're just going to get they're going to miss out because you know some of these properties have multiple offers on them and that's what they're worried about is, gosh, if I go for the best property, I'm going to lose out because I'm going to be bidding against 20 other people.
Right.
But there actually is inventory out there that's still very, very reasonable. But to your point, though, you can take this 1031 exchange anywhere, right?
That's right.
And now, it's only within the U.S., though. Is that
it
correct?
It's only within the U.S.
Okay.
But a critical thing on replacement property is to realize that you can get any kind of investment property. If you own vacant land, you can buy a rental house. If you mm-hmm. own a rental house, you could buy an apartment house mm-hmm. or a retail strip. Mm-hmm. So if it's real property, definition, it qualifies.
And if it's for business purposes, like we were joking earlier, it could be a plane. Isn't it?
But it can't be. You can't start with real property and do a plane.
It has to be like kind.
Oh, it has to be like kind.
Yeah, so
okay.
Plane for a plane, real estate for real estate,
okay.
That sort of thing. When we come back, I think we have a few more questions for Phil David with Benash Real Estate, 1031 Real Exchanges. Stay tuned for more on Open House at Team Reba.
Open House has open phone lines. Give us a call at 866-712-1300.